Good morning, everyone. Versus Rabbi Krohn. We are on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about five or six lines from the bottom. So just to give a quick recap of what we talked about yesterday, we talked about some of the differences between a cheresh and a shote and a katan in terms of rabbinic marriage and why it applies or why it doesn't apply. So what we've been talking about most recently is about the cheresh, about the deaf-mute, whether we know that they have the concept of a rabbinic marriage. So there's a discussion that we're in about why is that so? Is there a rabbinic marriage? Because there clearly it cannot be a biblical marriage, meaning that's completely not a possibility. Or is it because there's a suffix about whether the marriage is a marriage or not a marriage, so therefore from Midrabanan, they set up this marriage. And we got into the discussion with Rochia Bar Ashi, said the name of Shmuel, about the question was whether someone who, if someone's married to a cheresh who's married to a typical person, and so therefore it's a rabbinic marriage, if someone were to come along and to have an affair with that woman, since it's not a biblical marriage, what do they need to do? Do they potentially need to bring an asham tali? An asham tali is what you do when there's a suffix. So they brought this whole discussion about, you know, again, about whether it's a suffix or not, where they brought up this Mishnah, where they talked about there are five different groups of people that don't bring truma, and one of those was a cheresh, shote, and katan. Right, so therefore you might believe that because of that, that the cheresh is clearly not a suffix situation. But so then again, the question is, why wouldn't you bring this asham tali? So we said maybe when it's an asham tali, and this is where we ended off, that Shmuel followed Rabbi Lazar that said when there is an asham tali, it means that there's A and there's B. A is okay, B is not okay, and you don't know whether you chose A or B. So it's not a case where there are two women and one woman was good and one was bad, and you don't know what you did, or whether there was two pieces of meat, one good and one bad, but you didn't have two, you just had one person that's a suffix about their situation. So in this case, we don't have it, and maybe Shmuel follows Rabbi Lezer that applies. So that's where we left off. So we're starting with Umi by Rabbi Lezer Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos. That's about five lines from the bottom. So does Rabbi Lezer, does he hold this way about having this, needing to have an option of A or B? Tanya weren't in a bright, so Rabbi Lezer Omer, Koi, which is some kind of animal, which it's not known what it is, whether it's a kosher animal or not. Chayavim al chelbo asham tali, that if you have its fat, you're chayav an asham tali. Now in that case, you know, you're only talking about one thing. It's the same. It's the same situation. You have one thing. It's a suffix about what that one thing is. And he would say in that case, you would chayav an asham tali. And the Gemara answers Shmuel savak Rabbi Lezer b'chada apalga b'chada. In some cases, he follows Rabbi Lezer, meaning he would follow Rabbi Lezer about that when it comes to a cheresh, it's a suffix, but when it comes to this concept of needing two things as opposed to one thing, he wouldn't follow Rabbi Lezer. So now just another way, this is another way of saying the same thing we said, it's just a different spin on it. V'ikad Amri, some say the way it is Amr of Chia Bar Ashi, Amr Shmuel, Eish is cheresh, the wife of a cheresh, chayavin alea asham tali, he's required to bring a asham tali if you have relations with a cheresh's wife. So the Gemara questions, Meisvei, what about that Mishnah we said earlier, Chamishal Yitromo, that's what we used earlier to prove that the cheresh is clearly not someone who's a bardas, that has an issue with their competency, and this seems to go against it. The Gemara answers, Sarvalek Rabbi Elazar, he holds like Rabbi Elazar, that it's a suffix. So it's not that it's clear, but it's a suffix. So by Rav Ashi asks, my time of the Rabbi Elazar. So what is the reason the Rabbi Elazar holds that a cheresh's mental status is questionable, especially in this instance? Mifshab shitale decharish date kalishadhi. Do we say that it's clear to him that the cheresh has a competency issue, right? So umia misbakale, but he's a question about whether the amount he has is above a certain level, ilo dati salus, or whether it's not. So we know that he has a competency issue. So for lack of a better way of saying it, let's say we know that his IQ is a certain number, right? Whether that number is high enough or low enough to him to be considered competent is a suffix. But he always is the same level. He's always an IQ of 97. We don't know if 97 is high enough to be considered a bar das, so that's the suffix. Odilma pshita le, but maybe it's different. The data kalishta, that he has a weak mind. Velav data tzlusahu. It's not a case that whether his competency is high enough or low enough. The reason is kevan the itim chalom the itim shota. There are times that he's more lucid and times that he's less lucid. So there are times that, using the same analogy, there's times that he has an IQ of 120 and times that he has an IQ of 97 for whatever reason. So therefore, there are times that he would be considered above the line, you know, competent enough, and there are times he would be considered deficient in his competency. So lemayin nafkamina, what's the difference between these two options? About whether this deaf mute person is able to divorce his wife with a get. If you say he's always at the same level, even though it's a diminished level, just like he was able to do kedushin with the person, he's able to divorce the person. So just like he was able to bring her in because he was a certain competency level, he was able to divorce her because he's a certain competency level. But it's more of a problem if sometimes he's above the line and sometimes he's below the line. Kedushin matzi mekadesh, because you know he can do kedushin. Gerusha lo matzi magarish, he can't do divorce them because you don't know. Maybe when he married, he was above the line, and therefore when he was above the line, it would be considered a biblical marriage of sorts. But now that he's divorcing her, he's below the line, so you can't do that. So what is it? What is the answer? Take it. We don't know. Okay, so back in the Mishnah, we talked about the case of if a woman after they were married, she became a shota, she became incompetent, whatever that means. He can't divorce her once that happens. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Midah Reisa, Shota Migaresha. From Midah Reisa, you're able to divorce a woman who is a Shota. Midah Dehavia, Ipachas Bar Kracha, because similar to a woman who is totally competent, a man is able to, you know, Midah Reisa is able to divorce a woman even against her will. It was later on, I think, like Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom and other things like that, where they established that the woman has to accept her divorce. Umay tayim amru eina migaresh. So why do we say that midarabanan, she is not divorced? Shlayinaguba minag hefker. So that, because she is not a competent person, you're worried that she'll be kind of out there on her own in the world without anyone looking out for her. So therefore, people will treat her immorally. What is the case that we're talking about? If we say that she is competent enough to care for her get, meaning she's able to keep it and store it and have it, and she's competent enough to protect herself, meaning that she's not just going to be, you know, out there for anyone to take advantage of, you don't have to worry about this concept of people treating her like she's hefker, because she's able to, at least at some level, care for herself. Ella, but in a case of the ein yodas lishmor logita v'atzma, in a case where she both can't be able to care for her own get, and she's not able to care for herself, dvar Torah shota miskareshes. How could we say that mid oraisa you're able to divorce her? Even in Mida Araisa, in that case, you wouldn't be able to divorce her. Why? Hi, Amar Devei Rav Yanai. We learned through Rav Yanai's yeshiva. V'nasan biyada, when it says about a get, v'nasan biyada, that you have to take a get and put it into her hand, meaning mi sheyesh la get l'garash atzma, meaning she has to have a hand to accept it. Yatzazo, this excludes someone, she'en la yad l'garash atzma, she doesn't have a hand to accept the divorce, meaning she has no idea what's going on at all. So if she's not, it doesn't have even the competency to know that she's being handed a get, then even midah oraisa, you would not be able to divorce her. Forget about midah rabbanan. V'tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, and we learn further in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, another baraisa. V'shilcha mibeiso. One of the concepts of divorce is he sends her out of her own house, meaning mishmashalcha v'eino chozeres. It has to be a woman who's going to be competent enough to know that when he sends her out, she just doesn't keep coming back. Because if she doesn't know what's going on, she's just going to keep coming back. It excludes a woman who doesn't even have that level of competency to know that she no longer lives in this house with this person. So if you have a woman who cannot take care of her own get and can't, in that case, she's clearly doesn't count. And therefore, you don't have this case where she is able to be divorced mid Areisa, but she's not able to be divorced mid Rabbanan. So lo tzricha, his teaching isn't so hard to understand. What we need is this case. Diodas lishmor gita, but she knows how to take care of her get. You know, she knows that she's actually divorced and she has this document, which is her get. V'eni yodas lishmor atzo, but she's not able enough to care for herself and protect herself from, you know, immoral people. Dvar Torah shota miskareshes. In that case, the shota would be able to be divorced mita araisa. Because she knows how to accept her get, which was what we said earlier, those two psukim about being able to take it into her hand and know that she's not going to just come home. But the Rabbanan says she should not be divorced. Because she can't care for herself, they added on that you shouldn't divorce such a person because you're kind of just throwing her to the wolves. Amar Abaye, Dekanami, this matches with the wording of the Mishnah. The Katani Gabi Didei, because the Mishnah says about the woman's case, Nishtes Lo Yotze, if she becomes a Shota, he can't divorce her. The Gabi Didei, but it says about him, if he became a Shota, Lo Yotze Olamas, he can never divorce her. The wording is different, right? One says he shouldn't divorce her, and the other one says he can never divorce her. So there's, you know, it's more forever stated when it comes to him. What's the difference between the case of the husband, the Katani Olamas, when it uses the word Olamas, meaning he can never? What's the case of the woman where it says the Lo Katani doesn't say Olamas forever? Elishmamina, Hadra Areisa, Hadra Rabbanan. So when it comes to him, it's a Dareisa, and when it comes to her, it's just a Darabana. Because he doesn't have any Das at all, he can't affect the divorce. But when with her, because it's just a matter of the Rabbanan trying to protect her, that's the only reason that that it was with her. So he is a Dareisa and she is a Darabanan. Okay, now back to the Mishnah we learned earlier. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ibai Elhu, they asked. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ish pshita le. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had said, this is again about the man and the woman, what the difference is about them in terms of if they become a shota after they're married. So the question here they're asking is, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri ish pshita, is it the case that it's obvious to him that when the man becomes a, and this is about a chayresh, not about a shota, if it's obvious to him that when the man becomes a, if he becomes a chayresh after they're married, he cannot divorce his wife, the isha kibayile, but when it comes to whether the man could divorce the woman who became a chayrish after they were married, if that's okay with him, meaning that it's clear that the man cannot, but the woman maybe she can. Odilma isha pshitale, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's clear to him that the woman can be divorced, and the ish bivayile, but the man, he's not sure if he's able to divorce the woman. So the Gemara answers, Tashma, we learn that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was asking why the Chayresh husband can't do a divorce. Midika Armile, for what was said, Ein Dome Ha'ish HaMegarash L'Ish HaMiskareshes, the man who is doing the divorce is not the same as the woman who's being divorced. Sha'ish HaYotzeis L'Ratzona V'Shalo Ratzona, because the woman is able to be divorced with her will or without her will. Daish Edomotse El Ratsona, but the man can only do divorce when he with his will. Shma Mina Ish Kubaile. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was asking why the man can't do the divorce, because it's clear that the woman could be divorced, because she could be divorced whether she wants to or not, you know, it's against her will. But the man, it's more about what he wants to do. Adarabba, maybe it's the opposite. Midika Amrile, from what the Rabbanan later said to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri as an answer, Avzu kiyotzebe, they're basically the same. Shma mina isha kumi baile. We learned that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri was asking why the woman can be divorced, that maybe it should be the same way. Just like the man shouldn't be able to divorce because he no longer has the das, maybe the woman shouldn't be able to be divorced because she no longer has the das. So there's, you know, different opinions about Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's question was, and neither of them really is so clear. Ela Rav Yochanan ben Nuri ledivrayim karmelhu. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri was saying what the Rabbanan said, that what he was saying to them is, Li Didi, according to his opinion, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Ki Heichi De'ish Lo Matzi Megaresh, just as the man who's a Cheresh and no longer has enough Das can't divorce a woman, Ishanami Lo Megaresh, so too, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, the woman who's a Cheresh can't be divorced. Elo Didaychu, but according to your opinion, De Rabbanan, it's different. You say, according to your opinion, that the woman can be divorced and the man cannot. Maishna isha, maishna ish. So what's the difference to you, the Rabbanan, about why you would allow the woman to be divorced and not the man? Armalei, it was to answer this question that the Rabbanan said to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Ein domai ish le'amergarash le'isha megarash, that the man who divorces is not the same as the woman who's being divorced. Why? Why? I don't remember, but that's why. Hey, Rav Yochanan said that, so maybe this is answering it. Rav Yochanan ben Gudgega testified that a man who did a regular marriage and he married a biblically married cheresh can be divorced. So what does that mean? What do we learn from this? Amaraba me'iduso shel Rav Yochanan ben Gudgega. From the what Rav Yochanan ben Gudgega said, and he said that even in a case of a marriage that was okay d'areisa, you don't need the wife to consent to the marriage. That was in addition to d'rabbanan. So from that we can learn that Amar le'edim, a man said to the witnesses that, you know, Ru'u getzet she'ani nosen. He can say, and this is not even necessarily in a case of a cheresh, this could be in any case. Ru get zesh adi nasan. See this document that I have, this is a get that I'm going to give to my wife for amala. And then when he goes to her, he says, kinsi shtar chovzeh, here's a loan document. He doesn't tell her that it's a get, he tells her it's some other document. Harei zo megareshes. Even in that case, she is divorced. Even though she didn't even know that it was a get, but she accepted this document. Kind of like when someone gives you a piece of paper and says you've been served, you know, he's giving her this document. He's saying it's something else, and it's really a get. Milo Amar Rav Yochanan Gudgega Lo Ba'inan Data. From this, we say that we don't need the woman's consent for divorce. So in other words, he's able to do this this situation. If you look like note 28, which quotes Rashi, Rav Yochanan Gudgega taught that a deaf woman who, as a child, was married off by her father, goes out, which is a d'oraisa, she can go out with a get, even though she can't give, you know, consent, even though, but d'oraisa, that's what you need. So hacha nami lo ba'inan data. Here too, we don't require the woman to give consent. That she was able to be divorced, even though she wasn't able to give consent. Mi d'oraisa pshita. So this doesn't really help us. Because this doesn't really add on anything to us. So what does this really add on? Ma'o de tema. What would we have thought without this teaching of Rava about this whole case about the guy giving this loan document and making believe it, or this get and making believe it was a loan document? Ma'o de tema. Mi de amrele kinsi shtar chov zeh. Maybe what we're talking about here is when he tells her, take this shtar chov, Bituli Batle. He's really canceling the get. He's really saying, yeah, you know, it really isn't a get anymore. Hamash Milan, E Asilavatle. If he were to cancel the get, Le Edim Avakramale. He would have said that to the Edim. He wouldn't have said to the Edim, here is a get that I'm going to give my wife and then given it to her. He would have said, oh, by the way, this isn't really a get anymore. And we delo Armale Edim. And since he didn't tell the Edim about this, he didn't cancel the get. And the reason he did this, you know, whole thing about giving his wife this thing and saying, here is a loan document, even though it's really a get. Because he's embarrassed to actually divorce her. He doesn't want to get into it with her. He just wants to give her this thing and actually divorce her in the process. So therefore, we learn from this that she doesn't have to have willingly accepted, and again, the Aresa. So, you know, all this proves out that when it comes to the Aresa, he doesn't have to, you know, the woman doesn't need to agree to accept it. And it was really a Darabanan add-on in the case of, especially in the case of a Cheresh, that we went ahead and did this. So let's just do another couple of lines and then we'll wrap up for this week. So we talk about a case of a katan who eats nevela. So Rav Yitzhak Bar Bisna, Irka Sule Maftechei Deve Midrasha. So he once lost the keys to the base medrash. He should have had an access code. Brishus Harabim, and this was in the Brishus Harabim on Shabbos. So we know on Shabbos, he can't use it, although I think the Bach gets rid of the on Shabbos. But anyway, he lost the keys. Asla Kame Derab Padis. He came before Rab Padis. Armalei, he told him, Zil, go, Devar Tali Vitalia. Go bring some kids to that place. Velit Luhasam, let them play there. And if they find the keys, they'll bring them back on their own. It's kind of like, you know, when you're, if there's a light on in your house on Shabbos, you take a little kid and hold him in front of the light switch and hope that they're actually going to turn it off. Alma Kasavra, we learn from this, katan ochel nevelos, that if a child eats nevelos, you know, meat that they're not supposed to, and they're not doing anything daresa, ain bezdin mitzuyin lafrisha, you don't have to stop them from doing this, putting aside the whole concept of chinuch. So in this case, you would be able to, you know, they're able to say, you know, the keys are on the ground, bring the kids there, they'll wind up carrying it back, you don't have to worry about. Lame Messiah, shall we say that this Baraisa helps him? Because the Baraisa said, Lo Yomer Adel Matinak, a person shouldn't say to a kid, Havili Meftak, bring me a key, Havili Chosen, bring me a seal, Ela Meniach Tolesh Meniach Zorek, but he can allow him to continue to, you know, pluck a plant, you know, pull things out of the ground, if it's helpful for him. So in other words, you can't tell the child to do an activity, but you don't have to stop him from doing this. Amar Abaye, Tolish Ba'atzah She'eno Nakev. The Baraisa is talking about where he's either he's pulling out something from an unperforated pot, and in that case, it is considered detached from the ground, so it's not really a Daraisa type of thing. Or Zorik Bekarmelis Darabanan, or he's throwing an object in a Karmelis, which is Darabanan. So since the child is doing a Darabanan, you don't have to stop him. You can't tell him to do it, but you don't have to stop him. But when it comes to something from the Daraisa, you have to stop him from doing that. So with this, we'll stop, and we'll pick up Ezra HaShem next week. Everyone should have a wonderful day.